So it finished goalless at the Britannia Stadium. It wasn't the greatest in truth, though I can tell you Stoke with six attempts on target, that's the most they've had in a home game this season. We didn't even get a booking in the game. Arsenal had more of the ball. Passing was better as well. They had more touches in the opposition area. But it finished 0-0, largely thanks to the goalkeepers, who were both outstanding. Jack Butland and Petr Cech, both with Patrick Davison.
Guys, well played. Two terrific goalkeeping performances. But Petr, firstly, the game itself, your assessment?
Well, I thought that, Stoke did very well. We did. I thought we did well in the first half. We had a chance to go 1-0 up. Obviously, Jack made a good save, and then obviously second half suddenly the momentum shifted a little bit, and they had some chances to score goals. So overall, I have to say that he made another good save from the header. So we could have won, we could have lost. So I think we can take the point.
Jack, as Petr says, two outstanding saves from Olivier Giroud. What was the pick for you?
I guess the second one, with it being at the start of the second half, just not wanting to lose that momentum that we ended up building in the second half. So, yeah, take the second one, definitely.
Peter Schmeichel's in our studio, and at half-time he particularly enjoyed the first one, actually. Was the key to that, getting off your line quickly?
Yeah, I think Giroud ended up in a good position. Sometimes as a keeper, you've got to assess whether you can make the ground up and get there and make a block. If not, then you've got to stay on your line. But I felt I could impact, his decision, and thankfully managed to get a block on it.
Petr, to be top after the week you've had, the injuries you've got, decent effort.
Well, I thought we were coming here and we could hear from everywhere that we're going to lose again. We show everybody that we can compete. And obviously, in the circumstances, we take the point, we move on. And I thought, particularly on the midweek, we were unlucky to concede late goal today. We take the point. And I think that, we are in the position we wanted to be. And then, we go to the home game and we are ready to compete again.
How pleased were you with your own double save in that second half?
Well, I was pleased with all my contribution because sometimes, it can be a tricky game. You try to keep your composure and in the tricky conditions as well. Every back pass, everything you get, you try to make sure that you do it perfectly, that the players in front of you feel you're confident, that they can relax, and obviously it always helps. So I try to do that, and obviously I'm very happy that second half I managed to keep everything away.
Jack, a lot of outstanding goalkeepers in the league right now. How much do you watch a guy like Petr with his experience?
I mean his record speaks for itself. What stood out for me was the fact that first half he had no saves to make, and then second half, when we did turn on the pressure, he was there when they needed him, and that's what being a great goalkeeper is all about. So, looking up to someone like him, it's not just the saves, but it's how you relieve the pressure on your defence and make them feel comfortable that you're there behind them, ready to help them out when they need it. And that was the case in the second half.
And with the way you're playing, got your eye on being England's number one?
Of course, it's a target for me. I'm a long way from that. I'm a lot of experience short on where Joe's at, and he's an established Premier League goalkeeper that rightly deserves to be where he is. So for me, it's my first Premier League season. I just want to play as well as I can and give myself the best opportunity to play.
Well played to both of you. Could have been either of you, but Petr Cech, Barclays man of the match. Jack, do the honours, please.
Cheers.
Thank you.
All the best.
So, Peter, did David Provan get that right?
It was a toss-up between the two of them. I think the best part of the whole afternoon was that interview. You see, the game we saw here was very, very boring. And if it hadn't been for the two goalkeepers, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. But I have to say, Petr Cech...
Thankfully we do, though, and you're here, which is great.
Well, I think Petr Cech just edged it. The couple of saves he made and, making those saves very late on in the game, it saves Arsenal the points. It makes them go... they give them the opportunity to go top of the league. Not that they deserve that on the performance they had today. But this one, he's a big fella. He comes down to his right. He had to change position. You see that he goes left but has to come back, and he's up quick.
And that's what we see you guys doing a lot in training, getting up and making that second save.
Yeah, that's what wears you out. That's why you're sleeping all afternoon on the couch, because you do that day in and day out. Here again, big fella. The ball takes a slight deflection. You can see that here, but it also bounces right in front of him. This is actually a really, really good save. Deflection through the legs, doesn't see it until late, bounces in front of him, and he gets it away. Now this one again, doesn't matter how you save them, this is very late on in the game, and actually saves the three the point they get today. I have to say his performance was fantastic.
How much difference, and this is something we've talked with you, Graham, in particular, on a number of occasions, the difference he makes to this Arsenal side, his presence as much as anything else.
You know, you can argue why did Chelsea let him go? I mean, they've got a very, very good goalkeeper there. But he's gone to Arsenal. It was sad to see him on the bench last year, but he's gone to Arsenal. I think he's stabilised them. He's given them an opportunity. Not to offend Per Mertesacker, but he's not the quickest defender. But having someone like him behind him that reads the game as well as he does, it gives him the option of going further forward, which means that Arsenal can attack more. And I think that is a massive difference from last year.
The total of save points is growing, Graham.
Yeah. They finished 12 points behind Chelsea last year. How many points is Peter Cech worth? Because that immediately, the only signing they made in the summer, makes them, for me, I know why you're laughing, because the first game of this season against West Ham. But I think since then, how many points has he bagged for Arsenal? How many points has he bagged? Seriously, how many points is he worth
for
the season?
True.
So if there were 12 off, he's got to be worth at least 10. Maybe more, maybe a lot more. And if you think of that game today, if that had been last year, Arsenal don't get a point there today. They come away with nothing again.
You touched on that in the pre-talk before the game here. You said you need a goalkeeper. You need a goalkeeper to win the championship. And if you don't have a goalkeeper that saves you at least 10, 12 points even, you can't win the championship. Go on.
It's like De Gea, and we've said it already. It should be his headlines tomorrow because he's won them the game here. I know Wayne gets the goal and he'll get the mention again. He's broken another record. But sometimes you have to look beyond that. And I think if, you know, football people will and see it, De Gea has won them this game here today. And Peter Cech has certainly got them a point in that game.
Jack Butland. I mean, you say he went close to the man of the match. How good is his? Because he says the one at the start of the second half was a better save than the first one.
I've watched Jack Butland a few times when he was at Birmingham. I like the whole attitude of what he's all about. He's not rushed into having a Premier League career. This is a fantastic save. We talked about this at halftime. How quickly he's out. How big he's making himself. This, you know,
is this one even better?
Yeah. When we see it from behind, have a look at his position. In the middle of the goal, reach where the ball is going to go, makes it easier for him to make the save. Mm-hmm. He's already read where he's supposed to be. And for a young fella, 22 years of age, it's very mature. But I like this guy. I like that he's not been shy in going out on loan to get playing time. He's been at Leeds. He's been two or three other places since he signed for Stoke. He's waited for his opportunity, and when it came, he took it, and he's been magnificent. He keeps, for a club like Stoke, for the goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet every three times he plays, I think that is fantastic.
How close, in your eyes, Jamie, is he to Joe Hart right now?
I don't think there's any chance between now and the European Championships in the summer that he will overtake Joe Hart. I think what he said in his interview, I think he come across really well in his interview, spoke really well. But what he actually said about Cech was interesting in terms of when you look at the top goalkeepers, it's how he's had nothing to do in the first half and then he makes those saves. Now, I hope Stoke fans don't get too upset by this, but he will be more involved in games as a Stoke goalkeeper. The next step for him that Joe Hart has over him, he's playing for a top club, going for top trophies, so you're not called on as much, and when you are, can you make that save? So at the moment, we're seeing him making plenty of saves.
He's made more saves than any other goalkeeper in the Premier League.
I think that says it all, but if he went to a team maybe, and the way he's performing this season, maybe over the next 18 months, he could be playing for a team in the Champions League, in this league. And then I think those questions will be answered a bit more. Can you sort of rely on him to make those two or three saves in a game rather than making seven or eight and always being involved, always being on his toes, as you mentioned, what Petr Cech did in the second half?
It's a good thing that he's aware of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's aware of that.
I think he gave some kind of answer to that question today, because today he wasn't overworked at all. He was called up on a few times.
How hard is that as a goalkeeper then? When you've done nothing in a game and then suddenly...
But we've seen this time and time again. But the goalkeepers that have the best stats, the most saves, them are the active goalkeepers from some certain teams. And we've seen goalkeepers being, you know, in teams, big teams like Man United, Arsenal, and so on. We've seen them go to other clubs and we've seen them fail at the big clubs, and then they go to other clubs and then they become the guys with the big stats again. When you talk goalkeeper, it's very much like everything in football. You need players that suit your style of play. So the goalkeeper needs to suit your style of play as well. If you're a team that are in possession all the time and you're attacking, you need someone who is brave enough to be outside his box. So anything that comes over the top, he will deal with that. Otherwise, it's impossible. If you are a team that wants to defend all the time, then you need a goalkeeper who is quick and very fast in reacting. He doesn't necessarily have to be a good footballer. No, a certain thing he doesn't have to, but a good shot stopper. So, you know, a lot of different things you need in different teams. So, and your question to about Joe Hart, you know, will he or will he not? It's really difficult to answer these questions, because will Jack Butland be a good goalkeeper for England the way that England play? I don't know, but I know Joe Hart is. So it fits the team.
But also from England's point of view, if Joe Hart was to get an injury for the summer, England now know that they've got a good
backup. That's great. I mean, you've got to be really happy with the choices of goalkeepers you have in the league at the moment. You got the young fella from Sunderland yesterday playing exceptionally well.
You know, young fella at Leicester's not bad as well.
He's Danish, by the way. So you got
he's a young fella, though.
He's not really that young anymore. You got no chance of him playing for England.
That is true.
But you got really good goalkeepers to pick from now for your national team, and you should be really happy.
This man, let's see what he made of the draw today. The Stoke manager, Mark Hughes, with Patrick Davison.
Mark, obviously it finished even. What did you make of it?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good performance by ourselves. I thought we were very much in the game, and if not certainly first half, I thought we were the better team. Second half, Arsenal came into it a little bit more, had a little bit more playing around our box without really creating anything of note, apart from obviously a number of saves that Jack made. But in fairness, we tested Petacek the other end as well. So I thought it was an evenly matched game, and listen, we've gone up against Arsenal. So many people think that they'll be champions this year, so I didn't see too much difference in the two teams. They're evenly matched, as I said, and that's the likes of Chelsea, Man United, Man City, and now Arsenal have come here and found it very, very difficult. So I think that shows how we're progressing.
You mentioned both goalkeepers there. Was it only 0-0 because they were both outstanding today?
Well, they had to make key saves and key moments in the game, but that's why you have top-class keepers, and Petacek has been a top-class keeper for many, many years. Jack, we've all seen the potential of Jack. He's having a great season, and our feeling is he'll be the stature of Petacek at some point in the future, and if he keeps progressing. So, yeah, it was a good performance by both keepers, but both sides, I thought, approached the game in the right manner, and it was a decent contest.
Is he really that good, Jack Butland? You think he could end up being a Petacek level of goalkeeper?
Yeah, he needs a number of years in the game at this level. It's only his first year as a Premier League number one, so it's going to take him time. But in terms of his ability and his natural attributes that lend itself to being a top-notch keeper, he's got that.
And overall, how do you feel about the way you've played against a number of top teams here now and the points you've taken?
Yeah, well, it encourages us. We're doing okay, and we're a good side, and we'll get down, we play, and we want to be progressive, and like I said, the quality of teams that we have to face week in, week out brings that out in us. And once again, we've gone up against one of the elite teams and made it difficult for them. And on another day, with a little bit of luck, we could have won that game, as we have done against other elite teams here.
Thanks, Mark.
OK, no problem.
Yeah, they certainly have, beating both Manchester clubs at home this season. They're seventh in the table. What do you make of the job your old teammate's doing there at Stoke?
He's doing well. I mean, if anyone deserved to win the game today, it was them. Their intentions were there, but the ability wasn't really in it today. But I think he's doing really well. I think, you know, his time at Manchester City was probably a difficult one, because there was so much unrest about ownership and where the club was going. And I think he's sort of found the right kind of club that he could change, because Stoke was a football brand 2 years ago. You knew exactly what you were getting when you played Stoke. It was ball powered into the box, long balls, throw-ins, corner kicks, set pieces. He's changed it. And I think he's changed it. They play good football. They still have a little bit of that. But I think that was a kind of challenge I think he needed for his his managerial career, and he's done fantastically well. Seventh in the league, not far behind.
Arsenal are top of the Premier League tonight after their point at the Britannia Stadium. Let's see what Arsene Wenger made of it. He's with Patrick Davison.
Arsene, overall, more pleased than disappointed with that performance?
Look, I'm pleased with the spirit we have shown again today, and I think we had two very physical games in 4 days away from home, and overall Stoke made it, came back to wanted to surprise us by a very direct game. We made it very physical from the start on, and we had to fight, and as long as we couldn't score the goal, of course we'd you can lose and win after that with a 0-0.
We hear a lot of talk about Stoke having evolved. Did they surprise you, being as direct and physical as they were?
Yes, a little bit. We expected them to play more on the ground, but they decided to go the other way. And we dealt quite well with it, but in the last minute, it was we were under in trouble as well.
Did it take two very good goalkeeping performances today to keep it scoreless?
I think so. Giroud had a great chance in the first half, and Patton made a very good game. Cech had a very good game. Maybe I would like to see again was a penalty on Walcott.
And maybe outside, just outside, I think.
Maybe offside, I don't know.
Outside the area, sorry.
Outside the
I
area.
I think so.
Or free kick, I don't know. And Campbell had a very good chance in the end as well, could have made the difference. And they blocked, they defended very well, I must say.
Did you miss Mesut Ozil today, just with a final pass, knitting your play together a little bit as well?
There's no team in the world that doesn't miss Mesut Ozil, you know. And that is, of course, we are used to have him there and give a final ball. But I must say, even with Mesut, it would have been a very difficult game as well.
Do you think you've shown something here at Stoke that you haven't shown for a few years? You came here a year ago with a lot of injuries like you did today and were 3-0 down at half-time.
Yeah, spirit-wise, I think this team is fantastic on the spirit, in the spirit again today. And with all the players who were out, we came away again with the result. That is what it is, but it's still a positive result compared to the other results we made here before.
Are you close to coming through a really tough period with so many injuries? Top, where would that leave you? How good a position would you be if you can get through this spell?
Look, I believe that next week we have some players back, and slowly some other players are 1 or 2 weeks away, so end of the month we should have a big part of our injured players back.
Who's back next week? Can you tell us?
I hope Ozil Sanchez.
OK. Thank you.
So it sounds like Sanchez and Ozil might be fit for the Chelsea game on Super Sunday next weekend. Did he have a point we made there to Patrick about the potential penalty Theo Walcott?
I don't think so. I think Pat mentioned that it started outside the box, but I think the rules are now if it carries on inside the box, and there is still a little bit of a tug on the edge of the box going in there. I mean, I always side with the defenders because that's exactly what I would have done, and I think he just lets go.
You'd have
right
let go
time.
Just on the edge.
Yeah, if he holds on a little bit longer, I'd probably say it was, but I think it's probably enough just to get away with it.
What did you think?
I get your point, but he also kicks him as well. He actually catches Walcott's leg. If you watch again, when he gets on, he lets go. Now watch again. Coming up. There. Kicks him as well. So.
What do you say?
It's a penalty. I think there's a. Theo Walcott's got a march on him, so he's quick anyway. But once he's fouled him with his arm, and he stopped fouling him with his arm, I think there's contact again in the box. Forget the arm for a minute and just think of that contact in the box.
What about overall for Arsenal today? Is that a point in a game where previous Arsenal sides would have lost?
Arsenal would have lost that last year. The single biggest reason we've touched on, which is Petr Cech. But I think Arsenal have a resilience about them now that they've not had for a while. And we come back to what a really good goalkeeper does for you because it gives you confidence. You know, you're not losing stupid goals. You're always in the game. And I think, you know, you look this year, Man City went to the Emirates and most of the ball, but they turned Man City over. Bayern Munich went to the Emirates, had all the ball, but it's turned them over. And I think there's a resilience about Arsenal this year that's not been there for a number of years. And for me, it's solely down. And I can't tell you how important it is to have a really top-class goalkeeper who gets you out of the hole, who gets you points that you don't deserve. And I think that's where Arsenal are right now. And that makes them a real danger. You know, Man United have won here today, not playing any football, hardly any football, that a goalkeeper that kept them in the game and then they've nicked it towards the end. And that can happen when you've got a top goalkeeper.
Nodding there, Peter.
But yeah, it's just a point that, you know, when we talk about winning the Championship, I kind of, not disagree, but I'm a bit worried on, for Arsenal, because they've had opportunities in the last sort of 4 weeks to get ahead and go away, just leave the pack. And they haven't been able to do that. And today, I don't think they played well at all today. And Peter Cech said they did, and even Arsene Wenger thought they did okay. But when Ozil's not playing, the difference, I think, is too big. So to win, I know it's a crazy Premier League this season. No one, you know, everyone's blowing hot and cold. But Arsenal has had the opportunities to go away, to just be out there and basically...
They're missing three of their most creative players, Cazorla.
Yeah, but they've still got points winning games without them.
Yeah, no,
but when Ozil's not playing, they're not creating enough chances.
Yeah, they've got those three to come back. You know, those three were getting anyone's team in the Premier League this season. I still see Man City as favourites, because I think they have got the best group. But I think Arsenal will push them. And I come back to it. I think they've now got a belief and a resilience that's not been there for a number of years.
They've got Chelsea next, of course, which will be fascinating on Super Sunday. When we come back this week, the reaction from the game here at Anfield. Liverpool against Manchester United.
Well done, David. Wayne, first of all, a new Premier League record you've set. Is it fitting that it's on such a special occasion, such a big game?
No, I think everyone knows the importance of this game, and regardless of positions, we could be first, second, bottom, second to bottom. It's a massive game for both football clubs, for the fans, and a great victory. 3 points we needed, and to continue this start of this year, and it's a massive victory for us.
Yeah, very disappointing. We've come away with nothing from the game, especially with the chances we had, and I felt as though we should deserve more, but Man United kept going and scored from another set piece, which is disappointing.
Well, David, how concerned were you, how much you were called into action, how many chances Liverpool had?
Yeah, they had some chances, but we defended really well, and after Wayne scored a fantastic goal, and we beat Liverpool.
Louis, for the league table, for confidence, for the fans, just how big and how pleasing a victory was that for you today?
Yeah, of course, when you beat Liverpool, you know in advance that you do it very well with the fans also, but also in the table, because our competitors also lose points. So it's a big step in a good direction, and I'm very happy.
Jürgen, was it a case of not taking your chances that cost you the game, do you think?
Well, of course, it's a very frustrating result. First of all, we have to say football's a result game, so we don't have to talk too much about the other things in the game, because we lost. But of course, we had more chances. Of course, we had more of everything. But at the end, we have nothing. So that's what we have to realize, and the reason for why we have nothing is again a set play. So yeah, at the end it's frustrating, how I said.
In that survival in the first half, how big a part did David De Gea play in that?
No, I don't think that he has done very much. I believe I think maybe two or three balls that he has to stop, but yeah, a goalkeeper has to do that also. So of course David De Gea is playing very good, but we cannot say that he was a fantastic, marvelous goalkeeper today.
What everybody could see, we know the way to the goals, but to score goals in the zones where it's interesting, we're in the decisive region of the pitch, so in the last third, so, and that's we are there often enough. But at the end, sometimes you need a little bit of luck, sometimes you need you need to be more cool. Both, sometimes we are cool enough, and then we have no luck on the other side. So it's like it is.
Now we have done the things that we have trained and also discussed. So that's the most precious aspect of the game today. And of course that you win and that we have won in a new year a lot of games now. And also we didn't lose yet.
We have to stand up after this game. Obviously we wanted to win, you could see it, and we didn't do it. So you have to feel the defeat. That's what we are doing now. And then we have to go on.
Disappointed Jurgen Klopp. We'll talk about Liverpool in a moment. But first, United and Louis van Gaal saying it's a big step. Apparently looked up at the television screen when it was nil in La Britannia and said we can still win the title, can they?
I don't think they can win the title.
Why not?
I don't think the team is good enough. I don't think the team enjoys playing the way that they play. I mean, today was very much three lucky points. I think David De Gea, and contrary to what the manager is saying there, I thought he played exceptionally well. I think he was key in keeping Manchester United in the game. And when you have a world-class player like Wayne Rooney, of course something can happen in the last third in front of goal, and it did. And that's the two positive things you can say about the game today. He's very keen on telling us that they've done the thing they've trained, so praising himself and what they've discussed, meaning what I told them to do. And if that's the style of play that Manchester United has to play, I don't think they can win the league that way, because you've got to be really lucky every game. And today they were very, very
really lucky yourself. Yeah. And what about, I mean, it's a difficult place to come and win. Shouldn't we be giving them credit for coming here and almost doing a job and walking away with a 1-0 win here?
Yeah, I said that at the end of the game. These games, especially those big games, when I was playing myself, you didn't care how you played. Similar to a cup final, it's not about performance, just win these games, get them won, the supporters happy, gives everyone at the club a lift. You can imagine everyone at the training ground tomorrow when you go back in, everyone giving a lift. But Peter's right, that performance that we saw from United is what we've seen most of the season. So it's not, plenty of times your team or Sir Alex Ferguson's team will come here, haven't played well, they've nicked the game. But for the majority of the season, they played, you know, great football, they're winning, they're near the top of the league. So these games are all about winning, and that's what United have done. He said that was the plan beforehand, if you like what he mentioned, but United didn't play that particularly well today. You can't say that that they would deserve to win, so I can't see that being the plan, really. They've had one of those games with a little bit of luck, and they've won it, but as I said, in these games, I've been on the other side of it. Well, you haven't played well, you win, or you win against Everton. You don't care, you've won the game. But in terms of the grand scheme of things and talking of getting towards a title, I think United's target's got to be, you know, trying to get back into that top four.
What should Liverpool's target be right now? Is the top four going out the window now?
They've got to regroup. They've got to try and get their players that are injured back on the field playing, missing some good players. I mean, they've lost the game today because Jordan Ibe, as a young man, was naive. You know, you can see him when they're taking a short corner. He's actually saying to himself, I don't want to go and encroach this because they'll retake it. And that's exactly what he should have done. He should have gone there and stopped the game. And that goal wouldn't have come about. You know, for me, I think they can still make the top four. I said at the start of the season, and I touched on it at the start of the game today, Liverpool don't have a free-scoring midfield. They'll chip in with two or three goals each. For Liverpool to get into the Champions League, they need, I did say at the time, and I think I still have to say it, although it would appear that the new manager doesn't particularly fancy Benteke that much, that Benteke would have to get well over 20 goals because he's own. You can't trust Sturridge, exceptionally talented, but doesn't play enough football. So you're relying on Benteke staying fit and scoring goals. And that really, I think, is still the same, Ed. I think they're relying on Benteke to get way over 20 goals and be the one that carries them into the top four. Because I don't see where the other goals are coming from. And in this league, it's a harsh league. You must be scoring goals. You can't always rely on your goalkeeper, like Man United have done today, like Arsenal did in their game today. But they carry a bit of a threat. Whereas Liverpool, there's no obvious one that's going to get 20-plus other than Benteke.
The problem is with Benteke, since he's come in, he's still, I think, Liverpool's top scorer, I think. But all the standout performances under Jurgen Klopp have come without Benteke and have come with Firmino in that position. You think of how they performed midweek as well, played really well. That was the first time, really, that in Firmino you see someone and you think he's looked something. I thought he had some lovely touches again today. There's talk of him not being a proper centre-forward. I don't think he is an out-and-out centre-forward who's going to get the goals that you talk about. But the way the manager wants to play Benteke doesn't seem suited to it. He's not enough movement. And when he does move, he doesn't really seem to understand where he should be.
You played with those guys, the midfield players. Who's going to get the goals in that midfield? You've trained with them. Who looks like they can finish in training?
Well, they can they? I mean, the only one sort of last season who looked like he was starting to improve that ratio was Jordan Henderson from a central area. But if you relied on Steven Gerrard for so long to be the man who got goals from the midfield and masked basically the rest of the midfield, because he was scoring 12, 15 goals a season. How many times do we talk about Van Gaal today? Midfield players who score goals. We've seen one today in Ramsey. He scored here in midweek. But there's very few now. You see a lot of players who are signed into central midfield are holding midfield players. That's what we always seem to say. They sit in front of the back four. Every central midfield player Manchester United have got seems to be that type. And the three Liverpool played with today, or maybe four, including Milner, are all that type. They don't seem to see goals as part of the game.
Liverpool have had more shots, created more chances than any other side in the Premier League, yet they are ninth in the table now, and there is some gap to the top four. For Manchester United, they're to within two of Spurs. Manchester City, good weekend for them and Spurs. They're on 43. Then it's Leicester on 44 along with Arsenal. Arsenal on top now, courtesy of their point today, on goal difference. Leicester just won't go away, Peter. Well, what belief is there that there might be a sixth Premier League medal in the Schmeichel household?
I think this Leicester won't go away should stop now, and people should realise how well they've done. Not by chance or by luck. They've done this since they went on the run from being bottom of the league the end of last season, and they've continued right the way through till yesterday at Villa Park. Yesterday was probably one of the worst games they've played.
You were there, weren't you, yesterday?
I was there yesterday. It was one of the worst games they've played. Villa did a really good thing at halftime, changed the whole way they played and put them under so much pressure. And they stood up to that pressure and got away with a point. And for me, that wouldn't have happened last season. And for me, it's a sign of, regardless of how much pressure you're under and how difficult the game is, you come away with points when everyone are expecting you to fall apart. I've been following this team in development for about 5 years, and I'm not surprised that they're doing well. I might be surprised that they're top of the league, but they are joint top of the league on 44 points.
Were you not concerned in the summer, like a lot of people were,
no,
with the managerial change and Claudio Ranieri coming in with the recent record he'd had?
I thought it was a bit strange the way the whole thing was done, but I have to commend Ranieri for coming in, seeing what's there, and not changing too much. Because Ranieri was the original Tinkerman. He was a guy who brought this, changing the players and the style and playing different games from game to game, different tactics. And he hasn't really done that. He's basically let the players do what they're very good at, where they're comfortable. He's realised what that is, and he's played that way. And I think that's a sign of someone who knows what he's doing. But it was weird changing the manager with the success they had at the time. I think Leicester should be praised for what they've done, because they really have played well.
And what's your advice to Kasper, having been there and done it, and he's in this situation, second in the table, behind Arsenal only on goal difference? Is it keeping feet on the ground? What's it all about?
It's when we talk after games, we do that every time he's played. We have a long chat, and he's like all his teammates are very disappointed when they don't win, because they want to win every game. And you know, especially around Christmas, where they came here, lost 1-0, and then they had two 0-0 draws. And I said to him, you only have to look at when I played and the years that we were winning the Premier League. Just have a look at the results we had. Because I can't remember that top of my head. But when I look back, you know, we were losing games we never should have lost. We were drawing games at times we shouldn't have been drawing those games. But when you do the whole calculation at the end, it's enough to win the league. So you will hit little spells in the season where you have, you know, you don't have the results that you think you're going to have, but the art is just to keep plucking away, keep digging in, and keep coming back for more. And I think they've done that. To go to Spurs, 2-2 draw with only three of their regular players in the cup, to win 1-0 only 4 days later, and Spurs are playing very, very well at the time, at this moment. And yesterday, to go to Villa, who's just won the first game and had a lot of things going for them, I think that's showing everyone that Leicester...
And just to finish with, do you think they can do it, or are you looking at that buffer they've got, that 7-point buffer they've got to fifth?
Do you know, when I look at the table, I'm thinking, why not? who's running away with the Premier League at the moment? No one's running away. Arsenal's got a particularly difficult time coming up, but so has Leicester. They've got some really big games coming up in February. It's a big, big month for them, a big test of their characters. But if they can get through February, there or thereabouts, I cannot see why not.
Brilliant. You know? Peter, really enjoyed your company this afternoon. Graham, Jamie, thank you very much as well. Let's tell you what you have to look forward to on Sky Sports then. Monday Night Football tomorrow night. Brendan Rodgers joining Jamie and I. Swansea-Watford, our live game. Usual time, usual channel. Hope you can join us for that. Then we start again next weekend. Saturday Night Football is West Ham against Manchester City. 5 o'clock as always on Sky Sports 1. And then the Super Sunday doubleheader. Everton against Swansea, and we'll be at the Emirates for Arsenal against Chelsea.